So last night was a fun night at Dodger Stadium, as Christopher Morales said there. Jorge, Lara, Momo, Roger, our winner. The seats, unfortunately, were not in the right field pavilion like I thought. They were in the upper deck, right field, sort of by the foul pole. They were not the greatest. You know what sucks about those seats is you can't see the scoreboard.
You can't.
You have no, like, a lot of the time, I had no idea. I'm like leaning out trying to fit. How many strikeouts does Max Scherzer have? You're trying
Wait,
to.
How did
that
you
up
mess that up? I mean, when you buy tickets online, they literally, you click on a map of where in the stadium they are.
I clicked on the map. I thought it was the right field pavilion. It wasn't. The next time it'll be the right field pavilion. We'll do this again when you get back, Lince.
What's the price difference on the two?
You know, it's a little more, I think. As I looked at it, it was kind of double.
I'll tell you what, Mace, it was priceless, man. It was a good experience. We had fun.
Great.
It was priceless, man. Let's just keep it at that. Come on, Lindsay.
Keep it at that. All right.
Yeah, it's more expensive to be in the right field pavilion or where you guys were?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Mace, what do you think?
I don't know. I right field pavilion, probably. The home run seats are expensive, apparently.
Yeah, those are expensive.
Those first two rows in the right field, left field, those are apparently really expensive.
The only thing I don't like about the right field pavilion is the bleachers, because you don't have a defined seat.
No, it's a bench.
It's a bench.
It's a bench, right.
That's all it is.
And so it's like, if you sit next to a bunch of skinny people, it's okay, or kids, but like if you get, you know... If people sitting down next to you take up a little more room.
Yeah, right, right.
It's like a little like, hey, you can scoot over a little bit. You
excuse know. Me, yeah. Excuse me, permiso. Hey,
a couple of things that I just wanted to clean up. The Team USA is an 11.5 point favorite over France.
That's about right.
In the gold medal.
Even though they lost to France in the opening game of the Olympics.
Yes, correct.
Lost by 11, I think.
Lost by 11, but they just put that team together. I mean, they had
I know,
had no
and all those guys were jet lagged
and
stuff, you know.
All that stuff. Yeah, I mean, Drew Holiday went basically straight to the Olympics.
Holiday, Middleton.
Yeah, all those guys. And the other thing I wanted to mention is that Francisco Pinto, the great voice of the Lakers, texted me this. My friend, the best way to watch the Olympics is by going to NBCOlympics.com. Everything is there, every sport, every replay, every game, all the highlights. You'll just have to enter your cable provider and password. That's it. You can watch it on your phone, your laptop, your desktop, or just stream it directly to your TV.
That's a great tip. Thank you.
So there you go.
Thank you. That was great.
Thank you, Francisco.
Because if I'm getting up really early tomorrow morning, which I don't do, okay, on purpose.
You know, they always give Michael Thompson and John Ireland always give Francisco so much crap because when they announce the announcers at Staples Center, John and Michael are just like they're ignoring the announcement. Like they're just not paying attention. Francisco, to the joy of the crowd, stands up and waves his hand. To me, that's what Ireland and Michael should do. People want to see the guys they're listening to on the radio. And they make fun of Francisco. I think Francisco's doing it the right way.
I agree.
Actually, Michael and John are a little disrespectful. That's the way I view it.
Yeah, well, that's definitely how you would handle it.
So I want
you'd definitely be that guy. Do you stand up? Hey, when you go to a Laker game and they show the ads on the scoreboard for Mason and Ireland, do you stand up and wave? Be like, that's me.
No,
me.
I do not. That's too embarrassing. I'm already on the.
You're already on the big screen.
I'm already there. I don't really need to stand up and wave. All right. So I wanted to get to this. This is Joey Votto appeared on, I think, the Audience Network. I think that's where Dan Patrick's
I don't know what that is, but yeah, okay.
Appeared on the Audience Network, and he talked a little bit about the Houston Astros. Listen to this.
Do we move on from the Astros booing?
Yeah. Yeah, there's no question about it. The idea that they were the only one doing something wrong just baffles me. But, you know, I agree with you completely.
But if Altuve gets to first base?
Yes. Very fond of him. I like him a lot.
What kind of conversation do you have?
I've had lots of conversations with him. We talk about hitting almost entirely.
But no garbage can mentions. Like you can't even have a little subtle dig, can you?
No, because he came out and said that. Listen, he came out and said that he had no part in it, and I have to believe a person based on if they. I'm assuming he's telling the truth, so I'm going to believe him, and then
Come
we move on from there.
Joey, what a naive. He batted .347 and won the MVP. You really don't think he was helped by banging trash cans? Of course he was. Of course he was. And do you believe that, Momo, that no. everybody...
I believe everybody was doing something, but I definitely think Joey doesn't want to be the one throwing the rock. Okay? Maybe he lives in a glass house, too. I don't know. I mean, like,
that was my first thought. My first thought was, well, Joey must be in on this somehow. The Reds must have been in on this somehow. Is that an acceptable excuse for the Houston Astros that, hey, everybody was doing it? In other words, everybody's speeding, but only some people get caught.
No, not at all. Because the reason why they got caught is it was in the World Series and it was really blatant and opposing teams could hear the trash cans banging to the point where like people were wise to it. Like they heard the trash can banging. And if everybody else was doing it,
we would have heard the banging.
We would have heard the banging. And look at the reaction that it got amongst Major League Baseball players. If it was really so pervasive, then you wouldn't have all these people complaining about what the Astros did. If it was that pervasive.
Let me make a cleanup move. Beto Duran, who never texts me directly, but always texts the people I'm working with.
No, it's okay.
Says that Francisco hasn't done the Lakers in 2 seasons. He's the Chargers now. So there you go. I hope he still stands.
He's doing the Chargers. We just corrected that. We haven't had games at Staples in a while, so you just,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been 2 years since I've been to Staples, right? I was there for the playoffs, but other than that, I haven't been there since 2019.
Me neither. Well, so, I did. I do it a little bit, yeah.
You went in 2020, Mace, right before the pandemic happened.
Oh, I did. I was at the Milwaukee. You're right. I was at the one of the very last games.
You squeezed out Michael Wilbon.
That's right. At that Milwaukee Lakers game, poor Michael Wilbon got crushed. So here's the question for you guys. The Astros, Joey Votto says everybody was doing it. Now, I would dispute that. I don't believe everybody was doing it or that that's an acceptable excuse. But do you believe Joey Votto that everybody was doing it? 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. I'm not buying. Are you buying? So we'll get some calls in on that. Here's the thing. I said this earlier, but I'll say it again. The sad thing for the Astros, and I'm not offering any sympathy to them, but the sad thing for the Astros is they were good enough to win the World Series without banging on trash cans.
I know.
They were an unbelievably talented team and might have gone to the World Series without openly and obviously cheating. And that, it goes the same for, like, Barry Bonds. It goes the same, yeah. Lindsay, your favorite player of all time is Manny Ramirez. It goes the same for Manny Ramirez, right?
I think so. I think he's a Hall of Famer without – if you take the him getting caught with HGH when he was playing for the Dodgers towards the complete tail end of his career, like, he didn't need to do that to make the Hall – like, that shouldn't affect his Hall of Fame status.
He was just trying to hang on, though.
Right, exactly.
And the thing about steroids – and I remember doing a story with one of the Dodger guys. His name is John Lindsay. Do you remember him? He was a he was a minor leaguer who got called up when he was 34. He was like a real-life Crash Davis, okay? And it was one of my first years I was at ESPN. I got into the story. I went and did a minor league baseball story, right? And it was fun because – you know, you get to hang out and see what it's like. You know, he was hitting 330 and they finally called him up. It was sort of a show of good faith to a guy who had a great minor league career and was still a good leader there. But I got to thinking about his career and I'm like, you know, this was the steroid era. So a guy who's a first baseman who could hit, you know, 25, 30 home runs in the minors every year, bat 340. Okay, that's not that impressive in the steroid era. Like, how different is his career? And he was clean. Like, we had a whole long discussion about it.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, I never did it. I never would. You know, I don't want to do that to my body. I feel, you know. But think about how different his career would be if he'd come along and everybody else around him was clean. Like, hitting 25, 30 home runs in the minors is pretty good.
Yeah,
but
sure.
Not in the steroid era when everyone was hitting 40 or 50.
Right. That was the unfair aspect of steroids was if you were a first baseman that hit 25 home runs, that was just not, and you were clean, that was just not good enough in the steroid era. So you almost had to cheat in order to be competitive and to get more than a cup of coffee at the big league level. More corrections. Adam Bronstein, our friend. Adam, it's Pepe Mantilla who salutes the crowd and waves at Staples.
Well, we haven't been there in a couple years, all right? Let's give us a break.
Yeah, give us a break. But I want to get it right.
I know, we want to get it right.
Francisco Pinto's wife.
You were way off.
Francisco Pinto's wife is the one that taught Ireland to swim before we had our big swim race at Swim with Mike. I didn't practice at all. Ireland got private lessons from Francisco's wife.
Wow.
And I always talk about with Francisco, I would love to go to Chile. I've never been to Chile, and I would love to go to Chile. That's where he's from. You know, I love South America, so I'd love to get there someday. All right, 877-710-ESPN. Do you believe what Joey Votto is selling, that everybody was cheating, and so the Astros don't deserve the rap that they got in 2017? 877-710-ESPN, Mason in Ireland.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Coolest moment last night after Max Scherzer completed 7 innings with 10 strikeouts. Standing ovation, rousing crowd. Clayton Kershaw apparently said to Max, give the people what they want, so he came out and tipped his hat.
That was cool.
You actually had that,
Jorge? Yeah, they were great. You know, when the crowd's going nuts like that, you can definitely feed off of it. You know, one of my, you know, Mike Maddux has got a great saying that says that you can pitch with emotions, but you can't be emotional. And, you know, for tonight, I felt like I was really able to, you know, the crowd was definitely into it. And, you know, you can feed off that and you can really get some adrenaline from that. And so to go out there and pitch well and then to have the fans ask for a curtain call for me, that's I've never had that happen. So that's really a cool moment, something I'll never forget.
Welcome to the Dodgers, Max. Wow. Man, we got to win some games, win the division. And how good do you feel about Bueller, Scherzer, Kershaw, Urias? That is a serious big-time World Series rotation. All right, so we're talking about the Astros. And Joey Votto made the statement this morning that, hey, the Astros were involved in something, but so was everybody. Everybody was cheating at that point. Let's go to Bill in Huntington Beach. Bill, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Hey, nice being with you guys. Hey, you know what really bothers me is, you know, Altuve knows what pitch is coming. He hits a home run, and as he's rounding third base, he's waving off his teammates, telling the teammates not to rip his jersey off, and he's actually holding his jersey on because he knows that he's got a sensor underneath his jersey, and he doesn't want the whole world to see that they've been cheating, blatantly cheating, and it just bothers me that Joey Votto is an idiot, a complete buffoon, and it really bothers me that he makes that statement on the radio, and it just,
yep.
What do you guys think?
Bill, thank you very much for the phone call. Yeah, that raises an interesting point, too. I mean, we know that moment where he rounds third and then basically tells his teammates by holding his jersey, don't pull my jersey off, don't pull my jersey off. And the only thing we can assume is that there was a buzzer there, some kind of buzzer, some kind of sensor that we would have seen if they would have torn his jersey off. Isn't that right, Momo?
Yeah. I mean, the clip he plays, Jorge, you have the clip. We talked about, my wife's too shy. Like, I didn't want my wife to get upset. And they pull off his jersey. You know that one?
Yeah, yeah.
Look, like, they all laughed at this thing. That's the, like, you know, I thought A.J. Hinch actually is the only one who handled this really well, where he was like, yeah, I didn't really want to do it. I thought it was wrong, and I'm sorry, and I'll take my punishment.
I got in trouble with my wife.
I got in trouble with my wife. Yeah, you're cheating. You've got a buzzer on your chest.
Yeah.
Let's go to Jay, who's a mailman out there on the route. Hey, Jay, what's up, man? Hey, Jay. No, Jay. Let's go to Robert in Northridge. Robert, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up?
Hey, guys. Guys, nobody's talking about this. What am I, you know, I'm not the sharpest tool here, but why doesn't anybody of these Astro players just admit it, say they already admitted it, they made a deal with the commissioner so they can keep the little pot of gold, instead of saying, look, man, I'm not taking any kind of responsibility for winning when my teammates cheated. And in order to at least ask forgiveness, be forgiven by the fans, and have some integrity, anybody have any friggin' integrity, and just say, we cheated, I don't want the title that way, I'm giving it back, and they can save face, otherwise they'll forever be associated with, like, the 19 Sox. What the hell's wrong with these people?
Thanks for the phone call, man. Yeah, what would have happened? This is an alternate universe. The Astros were defiant after this. And by the way, last night, Carlos Correa hit a home run in the eighth inning off Joe Kelly, and after rounding third base, put his hand to his ear like, yeah, go ahead and boo me. They were defiant. What would have happened if they would have thrown themselves on the mercy of the court and said, look, we were involved in this. So was everybody else. We got caught. We're sorry.
Yeah, it's fine.
How would we view the Astros in that universe?
I think they could have moved on. I mean, they could have just said, we got caught up in it. We were being, you know, we thought it was, you know, okay. And we thought, there was a mistake. Like, when you mess up, it's just not that hard. All you have to say when you mess up is, I regret the error. I'm sorry. It won't happen again. That's it.
Yeah.
I regret the error. It was a mistake. It was a poor judgment. Just say it was poor judgment. That's it. Own it. Move on.
Yeah. Let's go to Javier in Corona. Javier, you're on 710. What are you doing, man?
Hey, what's going on, Mesa? Love you guys' show. How you doing,
Thanks.
Momo? Look, I used to play baseball back in the day.
Okay.
Cheating has been going on for years and years and years. Okay? What's the difference, Mace, if, you know, you're using buzzers or whatever, or your coach tells you, hey, when you go up to the plate, watch his fastball, watch his curveball. He's going to throw you this. He's going to throw you that. It's called doing your homework on the pitcher. And if you do your homework, you know what kind of pitch he's going to throw you and when from judging, if you go and judge it from the past. So, and if you know the fastball is coming and you're a good hitter like Altuve is, I'm not saying I'm a Astros fan, but if you're a good hitter, you're going to hit that ball regardless.
Okay, Javier, if you know – from your scouting report, this guy's going to throw this then, and this guy's going to throw that then. And I agree, scouting is really important, and guys are looking at video on their iPads before games and trying to figure out. If all that's going on, why do you need a buzzer? Why do you need a buzzer to tell you if it's a fastball or a breaking ball?
Where's the evidence? Where's the picture? Where's video? Where's the evidence of a buzzer? There's no evidence.
The guy wouldn't
You just want to assume because the Astros won that year. The Dodgers are not going to win every single year. I'm sorry to tell you. So it's the team who's been playing the best for that year wins the World Series for that year.
Yeah,
so
Couldn't disagree with you more, man. I appreciate the phone ball.
Mace, when you have a good scouting report, the caller's right. When you have a good scouting report, you have a pretty good idea of what's coming. But that is totally different than knowing what's coming because you're reading the signs and someone's tipping you and banging a trash can. I mean, there are games where I think the Dodgers knew something was up. People who played the Astros knew something was up. Remember there was even a story about whether Yu Darvish was tipping his pitches. Dylan Hernandez was writing about that.
Right.
And tipping your pitches is different than somebody scouting and using the robot cam to camera to record the pitches and then send the signals back in. That's different. There's in baseball, it's the equivalent of human intelligence versus AI. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Human intelligence is okay. Scouting is okay. Watching what a pitcher is tracking pitches and pitch charts, that's fine. But when you have a camera that is stronger than your eyes and able to relay signals quicker, like if somebody's on second base, if there's a runner on second base and they want to signal which way the catcher's setting up, that's fine. Okay? Because you can see it with your eyes. You're on second base. That's human intelligence. But when you go outside, that's what the Astros did that really violates all of the unwritten rules in baseball. And I think it really changed the game because think about those at bats, some of those at bats, especially in that game in Houston, in that, what was the score? 15-14 or whatever the final score of that one was.
That was game five. Clayton Kershaw was the starter.
I mean, there's so many of those where you go, Jeff Passan and Tom Verducci really broke down those stories of how many pitches Kershaw threw in that game that the only explanation for how they were able to lay off those pitches is that they knew when they were coming.
Right.
I mean, nobody has that good of an eye. Nobody does.
You know, the mistake Rob Manfred made, and I've heard the other side of this, was giving Astros players immunity. That was the mistake. Do you agree?
I don't know. I mean, you wanted the truth.
Yeah, here's what I would say. If I was Rob Manfred, I'd say, look, you're getting suspended for 20 games for this. If you want to cut the suspension to 10 games, tell me what you know.
Yeah.
Why is that wrong?
Or you have to publicly say it. This anonymity stuff is not going to fly. When this report comes out, you're not going to go and publicly denounce this like this. You're going to tell the truth on the record and off the record. It's like when you get a cooperating witness. You know, you tell the police one thing, but when you get to the trial, you don't say it.
Right.
That's kind of what happened here.
Yeah, it is. All right, coming up next for you, we're going to grab Christopher Morales. Now, here's the deal.
Okay.
First of all, Chris, who's the voice you hear on the station all the time that starts every time
he's
we
very
start
excited.
Talking. Yes.
Lots of energy.
Lots of trying to stir up trouble with everyone. Like somehow he's got me as the enemy of both Sliwa and Travis and SLK. Like I'm some sort of bad guy. Like I'm some sort of villain.
Well, you're the guy that everyone measures themselves against.
You think that's what it is?
Yeah. Everybody, you're the dean. You're the institution.
Yeah. And the other okay, so we'll talk to him. He also predicted I would leave the game early last night, which I did not. I was there
I
at
did.
The end.
I'm the one
There's
left
photographic
early.
Evidence of that. And tonight I've got a dinner with management. Now I have no idea what's coming. Boss Amanda's going to be there. And highly paid consultant Christopher Morales is going to be there. And this could be it. This could be my last half hour on the radio at 710 ESPN.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Jorge, don't you think it's possible?
I don't know, man. I'm not saying anything. I don't want a lunch or a dinner, man.
No, when they ask you to have a meal together, you know you're about to be betrayed. We will get to that coming up. Morales,
maybe for you.
Come on next. Yeah, for me. Oh, yeah, you had a good dinner with those guys. You came out of there pumped, Lynn.
Sure did, yeah. It was a great dinner.
We'll see what it looks like. We'll see if I'm back tomorrow. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Dedicate this to Lindsay. On this day in 1942, Marilyn Monroe was born. Probably.
Oh, are you saying like I'm the next Marilyn Monroe? Thanks, Mace. That's such a compliment.
Well, no, I know you hate when I do on this day.
I got it.
I know
He's
you hate
it
that.
In. He's
Sorry,
it
to, I wanted to get that in there. Marilyn Monroe, one of the original, I would say, was she the original pinup girl? Maybe.
I don't think she was. I think there's like Betty Page was before Marilyn Monroe, right?
Oh, I don't even know who Betty Page is.
What? You don't know who Betty Page is?
No, I don't. Maybe Morales.
Marlene Dietrich. You know what? I'm thinking of Vogue, the Madonna song.
Yeah.
And she lists all of those.
Okay.
She lists all the pinup girls. Yeah.
Right now, Chris Morales is online. Christopher Morales does all of our what we call imaging on the station. Morales, what are you doing, man?
I'm also, the title is consigliere. I'm also the consultant of the radio station, Mace.
Yes, I know. Sir, first of all,
so
I want to know.
I do know who Betty Page is. I do know who Betty Page is, but how many On This Days have you done thus far today?
One. That's the only one.
Just, Lindsay, is that true? Just one?
Today the count is one, yes.
Yeah, today the count is one.
Okay, we'll talk about that tonight, Mace. I believe that's why I'm on, right?
Oh, God, yeah. I'm having dinner tonight with highly paid consultant Christopher Morales.
This is two work nights in a row.
And boss Amanda. Now, Morales, give me a sneak preview. What am I to expect? Am I to expect some sort of edict coming down? Am I going to be here tomorrow? What?
Oh, well, you'll definitely be there tomorrow. I mean, you have a contract, as you pointed out on the air the other day.
I did point that out. Yes, I did.
Yeah.
I did.
I was waiting for the laugh. It wasn't right there, but that's okay. Anyway, I'm just leaving Glendale, where I had a great lunch with the one and only Alan Sliwa. By the way, Travis and Sliwa, 8:55 a.m. each weekday.
Yes, I love the show.
And it was a great show. So I'm on my way now to Amanda's home, where we're going to go over some charts and some documents for tonight's dinner. And then we'll have some charts and some documents for you to review. And I think it's going to be very positive, Mace.
Am I going to get like a PowerPoint presentation at this restaurant?
I might give you a flash drive with a PowerPoint on it to review on your own time.
There you go. Okay, now I wanted to ask you this too. Why did you think, what possessed you to think, and by the way, everybody, that I would leave a Dodgers game early? I never leave games early.
I will say the one time we went to a baseball game together, one of the most miserable nights of my life because you wouldn't talk to me, we did stay until the end of the game.
But Momo, do you
everything
know?
Else,
yeah.
every other event we've ever done, you leave early.
Well, sometimes I think it's appropriate to ghost. Not a game, though. I ghosted the Black Widow screening. I introduced everybody.
I saw Lindsay Derry at Rams camp yesterday afternoon. We were there for the SLK, and she mentioned, of course, I heard her on the air too, that you ghosted her wedding. You left early.
Poof, I was gone. I'm like Kaiser
but
Soze.
How do you do that when somebody's literally paying for your meal? Isn't that horrible?
Did you eat the meal?
I ate the meal.
Oh, yeah,
sure.
That's not early. As long as you stay to eat the food that they paid for you.
I ate the food. I ate the cake.
That's fine.
I didn't dance. I'm not a big wedding dancer like you, Morales.
The whole point is when you do your wedding.
I do like to enjoy a dance. Yes.
Yeah, when you go to a wedding, they probably pay $100 to $150. That was like the microphone, by the way. That was not my stomach. That sounded weird. Okay. When you go to a wedding, it's like $150 a plate. So if somebody pays all that money for you, it's really rude to get up and not eat, to leave before the food comes.
Ramona, can I ask you a question real quick?
Yeah.
Since you're on the line and you know I'm a big Momo fan, this may come up tonight, it may not. What do you think about doing an entire hour of Radio Tinder with Lindsay?
I think it's a little like an hour of Fast Track, where we thought it was a great idea and it'll feel good for a little while.
Well, we know how that went, don't we?
I just threw up a little bit in my mouth thinking about an hour of Radio Tinder.
I like Radio Tinder, but I think that's one of the big mistakes that people make is they overdo things that are great. So, like, you don't want to – you got to be careful, right? When you have something great, you don't want to mess it up.
At the end of every great sitcom, sometimes we have to try wacky stuff.
Yeah, so
– what do you mean the end of every – why is this the end of the sitcom? What are you – see, now we're going to the stadium tonight, and you're talking
that, mate,
about the end of the sitcom.
I knew you would pick up
on that. Oh, so
no,
why do you, why do you think
– there might be a spinoff, but
I mean, I definitely think
come.
Two segments would be a good – trial run to see
no,
if
it
they
would not.
They,
it yeah. would not be. It's always going to be one. Okay. Last thing for you, Chris. Why do you think that I don't get along with everybody at the station and I don't love every show on the station?
Well, I can only think of some. There's only a handful of like major fights in 710 history we can talk about.
Yes.
And one of them is one that you had with George Sedano, in which it was going on. You texted me, "You better run in there and stop this, or you're going to lose a friend."
Whoa!
And me,
that's
a symbol of somebody that doesn't always get along with people, because I don't have a text like that from Keyshawn, Travis, LZ, Alan Sliwa, Sedano, any of those people. But I have that text from you.
You saved it, clearly.
You still have it.
Screenshotted it. I put it in a file.
It's in the permanent file.
Dang, that's
file.
What management people
on
do, Mace.
So
you
record,
can't text
them
anything.
Yeah. Well,
they screenshot and put it in a file.
For the record, every morning, listen to Travis Rogers and Alan Sliwa from 9 to 11, the Mid-Morning Spectacular, and then from 4 to 7 every night, listen to S, L, and K. What's going to happen to the L? Is the L going to be Lara?
I think we might try the S and the K first, because, you know, if we give the L to Laura, what about the G? Corporate Greg's not going to like that. So we'll
that's right.
No, come on. Let me stick up for my girl. If you give the L to Laura.
Unless we do the SLGK.
That's too much.
No,
that's
but if
too
you give,
much.
The, give the L to Laura and give her a little bump.
Yeah,
give her a little bump,
give
man.
Her a little raise. I hung out with Laura
again,
last night.
Again, I'm just the consultant. I'm not the boss. You're going to have to talk to the boss for that.
Okay.
I mean, she would do it. She's here anyway. She's funny.
She is. All right. Hey, listen, Chris, I'll see you in a couple hours.
Now.
I am dreading it. I'm dreading whatever comes out of this day.
Appropriately. Right. Are you going to dress appropriately, Mace?
I'm going to wear shorts and a T-shirt.
Of course you are. All right, have fun.
All right, cool. Thank you, Christopher. All right, there's Chris Morales.
You know what? Anytime the boss wants to take you to dinner, I would say 90% of the time it's because it's not going to be something you like. Right? I mean, you know, out of respect.
Oh, wait a minute. On this day in 1998, Halloween H2O came out with Jamie Lee Curtis. They're still making those movies. Lynn,
how many? This is not on this day. This is not worthy of an on this. I mean, I do like the music, but.
It's for the bit. Come on.
For the bit?
I thought we were listening to the afternoon show there for a minute, because that's like their bit, right?
Oh, it is a bit. I honestly think I started that bit and it got stolen.
Oh, okay. You're the first person ever to do On This Day, huh?
Oh, well, wait a minute. They're the first person to ever do On This Day.
No, but they've been doing it regularly on their show and has worked it into like the imaging and stuff. So, you know,
I can tell you one thing, Mace. They are definitely the first people to ever do properly rated or all
underrated or overrated.
Properly rated. What's the word that says it?
I'd like to do that one. I'd like to do that with them one time.
You'd be good at that.
Overrated, underrated, or properly rated. No, it's a good
bit. That's like your WK93.9.
93QWRQN.
Do the voice for properly rated. They might use this. Do this as a sounder for them. That voice with the underrated, overrated, or properly rated.
WKWW. That
one. 93QWRQN. Overrated, underrated, or properly rated.
So good. That's going to kill.
All right. Coming up next for you is Game of Games. It is my game today. Jorge is off to a good start this month. He's won twice. I've won once. Ireland, of course, will be back tomorrow, so he'll get to play. And Lindsay is scoreless, yet to scratch. Maybe today will be her day. It is going to be a round of, in honor of Mike Richards, who is expected to be the next host of Jeopardy. It is Mason and Ireland Jeopardy when we come back. Plus, Lie of the Day. Can anybody sniff out what I lied about today? That's all coming up for you next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, here we go. It is Game of Games time. And again, in the month of August, Jorge has won twice. I have won once. Ireland gets his chance tomorrow, and Lindsay is yet to scratch. And we're going to do, in honor of the guy who Momo and Lindsay don't think should be the next host of Jeopardy, in honor of Mike Richards, we're going to do a round of Mason and Ireland Jeopardy.
Woo!
So your answer must be in the form of a question. And now apparently we have to accept what's instead of what is or who is. So here we go. Here is question number one. Your name is your buzzer, all right?
Yep.
Number one, it's a common eating utensil or the point in the road where you have to make a choice.
Momo. What is a fork?
What is a fork is the correct answer. Or what's a fork? Momo's on the board.
I might be faster because I don't have a delay here. This is great. Yeah. All right.
Number two, Roy Kent, Danny Rojas, Rebecca Welton, and Trent Crim are all characters.
Okay. Momo. Oh, shoot.
What is Ted Lasso?
Dang.
Ted Lasso, so fast. Football so fast. Is life. Football
I knew this life. One. Dang it. I knew it. I'm just slow. Come
all right,
on, Momo.
So it's Jorge 1, Momo 1.
Let's go. Come on.
It's the last name that now will show up twice on the Dodgers lineup every night.
Jorge.
Lindsay.
Jorge.
Turner.
What is Turner?
I was thrown up by the dog
Lindsay,
barking.
Lindsay.
That was
Lindsay.
So great.
What's Turner
is correct. And Lindsay's on the board.
That dog bark was great.
Chewy.
Chewy knew before any of us.
Yeah, he knew it.
Number four. This movie character went on a violent tear after someone killed his beagle puppy.
Jorge.
Who is John Wick?
Is
correct, yes. Jorge 2.
And I haven't seen the movies.
Me neither. I haven't seen them either.
Okay. It's the name of the podcast hosted by Steve
Momo. Momo. Momo.
Momo was first.
What is Culture Pop?
What is Culture Pop is the correct answer. Podcast.
It's good.
Momo 2. Jorge 2. Lindsay 1. Number 6. Tim Tebow, John Ireland, Lamar Odom, and Julio Urias all sign autographs.
Momo.
Momo.
What is left-handed?
What is left-handed?
Yes.
Is correct. Yes.
Yes.
All sign autographs using this hand. What is left?
Oh, man.
And the last one. He is the K in SLK.
Momo.
Lindsay.
Momo.
Who is Scott Kaplan?
Who is Scott Kaplan in Momo takes the win?
Oh, my gosh. I want to do a dance.
Momo takes the win.
She is dancing. She is dancing.
I think I'm doing the cabbage patch.
You look like you did the night you were at the Forum Club and got liquored up.
I sent you those pictures, didn't I?
I know. Those pictures are unbelievably.
What a fun night. What a night that was.
Oh, my God. I won. Do I get to give a speech or something?
Okay.
Yes, Momo, please
give
do.
A speech. Give a speech.
I would just like to thank all of you who've believed in me throughout these many months that I never win. That you gave me the strength to know that I would win one day.
That's enough.
Is that good?
That was fine.
I mean, I could just give the like LeBron deleted tweet speech.
No, you're done. You're done.
All right.
Actually, in the podcast, we're going to delete your speech. All right. It is time for Lie of the Day. All right, I told a lie today. So I said something that was completely patently untrue. And you guys get a chance to try to sniff it out. Momo, any ideas? I have a feeling you weren't paying that close attention.
Something about the aunt who wears a wig.
No, I'm sorry. We all believe Aunt Karen wears a wig. That is absolutely true. Jorge.
Is that the same story with your Uncle Greg?
Uncle Greg, yes.
Oh, okay. That's what I had.
Well, I wrote down a specific in regards to that story saying, when you said you got caught drinking at your Aunt Karen and Uncle Greg's wedding and you fell down doing the chicken dance and you got thrown out because of it.
I am sorry. That is absolutely true. The lie of the day. On this day in 1942, Marilyn Monroe was not born. It's not her birthday. I have no idea when she was born. I did that and dedicated just for you, Lynn.
That's good, Mace. That was good.
Thank you. I appreciate you comparing me to Marilyn Monroe.
I knew it was
Monroe.
Something about that weird story.
It's quite the compliment.
So last night, tomorrow, I'm really excited. Ireland's going to be back tomorrow. And Ireland has had a man crush on Russell Westbrook for as long as Russ has been in the league. And he will say tomorrow, I promise you, Russell Westbrook is a human video game. And he plays the game 100 miles an hour with his hair on fire. And, Momo, despite the weird idea, John kind of nailed the way Russell Westbrook plays.
Yeah, he does. They also have the same saying. They have the same, motto. They both say, why not? That's Ireland and Westbrook. That's Westbrook. That's their
whole. Does Westbrook say why not?
That's, the name of his foundation. That's his entire branding.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's
idea.
Mr. Why Not.
And my one run-in with Russell Westbrook was not a good one.
Yeah, a lot of people have that story. He's prickly.
He came in, did an interview with me and John. And I don't like this at all, so I'll tell this story today when John's not here.
Yeah.
So we're doing an interview with Russell Westbrook, and I think we did three segments with Russ.
When he was Wooden Award, right?
It was the Wooden Award, you're right. And I don't remember, the one thing I remember is that when we went to commercial break, it's like we weren't even there. He did not talk to us unless we were on the air. And I thought, that's a jerk move. Now that he's a Laker, Russ, you do what you want, man. You want to ignore me? You ignore me all you want. It's going to be an exciting couple days because we anticipate that everything at some point, tomorrow's the day the trades and free agency and all that stuff can be final. The one dangling piece is Dennis Schroeder. Momo, what is going on with Dennis Schroeder, who technically the Lakers could sign and go over the cap?
Well, I, I will say this. I thought there has always been a chance for them to re-sign him at a very discounted rate at this point. I don't think he has many suitors out there.
Right.
Maybe Portland or Boston or something. There's a few teams that have their mid-level left.
Yeah.
I guess he could find a home there. I do think the Lakers did circle back with Schroeder in the last couple of days, but it didn't go anywhere because he was looking for a lot. And he passed on a lot, and they circled back with him, and it said, well, would you do something like this? And it was a sort of a non-starter type of offer, and it's not going to happen.
I've started to think of him. I did not like Dennis Schroeder as a Laker. I especially didn't like him in the playoffs, and I did not want him to come back for the Lakers, and I'm glad he's moving on. At the same time, I've started to develop some sympathy for the guy.
Yeah, I kind of have too.
I mean, he turned down $84 million, and now he could be playing for the mid-level exception.
If that.
Now, the Lakers...
If he's lucky.
Sometimes it's the moves you don't make that are the best ones. And I am glad that he did not accept that contract of $84 million.
There was also something, and I'll just, this is just my gut level reaction to the whole Schroeder experience.
Yep.
When you get, when the team that wins the championship decides, we're going to trade one of our key guys, Danny Green, and a first round pick for you, that's got to be flattering to you.
Sure.
That needs to be, wow, they won a championship and they think I can make them better. And I never felt like he had any kind of respect for the championship that they won, that he was joining a championship team, because the first thing out of his mouth was, well, I want to start.
Right.
And it's like, they have some starters. They have a starter there. Like, you're dislodging somebody and you're dictating terms on a team that just won a championship. They were good without you. And so, like, it just seemed like a strange move. And I understand, stick up for yourself, dress for the job you want to have, et cetera, but it's just, you have no credentials. You have nothing that you've done in the past that compares anywhere close to what the Lakers just did.
Is there any chance that the Lakers are still going to consider a sign-and-trade with
Schroeder? Yeah, they're open-minded. They're for business. If he's got a sign-and-trade that makes sense for him and makes sense for them, I don't see why they wouldn't do it. But they did circle back with him at one point, and I don't even want to call it an offer. It was just a conversation about, would you do something on, like, somewhere around in this range, and it just didn't go anywhere. So I don't know why they would revisit it again unless he came to them and needed their help in a sign and trade.
Right, right. Well, I mean, one part of me is glad he's gone. The other part of me is, at some point, he's going to wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat, in a nightmare about turning down $84 million. Dollars.
Now, he did make $70 million in his last contract, so I don't feel too bad for him. The ones I feel bad for are guys who have never had that big payday.
Yeah, that's true. He did have one big payday. You're right.
So I feel bad for him. I don't like to see anybody in that situation. The guy I feel the worst for is Oladipo. I mean, Schroeder, you could say, he brought it on himself, right? He bet on himself. It didn't work out. He played too hard, whatever. Oladipo just got hurt.
Yep.
And he went from having, $85 million offer to signing a minimum with the Heat.
Yeah, which is crazy. Oof. Which is crazy. All right. Hey, listen, Momo, great working with you this
Thanks,
week.
Mace.
Really appreciate it. John Ireland is coming back tomorrow. It will be his first chance to react to all of these Laker moves. Make sure you're here tomorrow, 12:55 sharp. Coming up next for you, SLK here on 710 ESPN.